Hey guys, welcome back to Vertical Momentum. I'm your host, Richard Kaufman, also known as the Comeback Coach. Guys, this is going to be an amazing episode. Make sure you subscribe, hit that notification bell, because my brother Gabe is going to be dropping some knowledge that you're not going to find anywhere else on the internet but here. We actually get information from people that have actually done it, not people that talk about it. So Gabe, welcome to the show. Guys, this guy is the Swiss Army knife of marketing. I mean, he's a speaker. He does it all. And I'm truly blessed to be able to have him to come on the show, because we're going to be talking about things that I wish I would have known as a business owner when I first started: branding, marketing, and copywriting. So if you guys want to make sure you have a pen and paper, I got my pen and paper. I'm going to be taking notes even while we're talking. So Gabe, brother, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Richard. I'm really excited to be here, and I'm honored that you're sharing your platform with me, and I am excited to serve you and your audience today. So thank you so much for having me on.
I love it. Now, before we get started, you kind of had a rough kind of growing up. You're from the, I guess it's East Coast. I'm from East Coast too. So we're going to talk about that. But what is your definition of resiliency?
I love that question. I ask big questions on my show too. And I think resiliency has a lot of factors to it, but one of the foundations of resiliency that I don't think people talk about a lot is having realistic expectations of your situation and other people, because we have to, in order to be emotionally resilient, which is one of the key parts of being a successful entrepreneur and being successful in life, to have emotional resiliency, we have to learn to rely on ourselves in a healthy way, and then cooperate, collaborate, and have interdependence with other people. But if I'm relying on you, Richard, for my happiness, or if I'm relying on you to move things forward in the business, I'm relying on you solely for things like that, you are going to let me down. Just like if you rely on me and you expect that I'm going to deliver perfectly all the time, or there's never going to be any hiccups, if you hang too much emotional weight on that, then when I let you down, because I let people down, unfortunately, despite my best efforts, that could rock your world, depending on who you're relying on for that emotional support. And so resiliency is about learning to not allow yourself to get too high on elation, the high emotions, the positive, all the good things. Those are good, but not getting too stuck there. And it's also not getting too stuck in the low parts and when we're depressed or discouraged. And resiliency is learning to continue to build yourself up, love yourself, take great care of yourself, and learn to just moderate your emotions so that you stay in the middle. I always say, like, we don't want to see the big wave line of like, oh, today was awesome because I sold something, or today was awesome because I got to meet with this person or start this new relationship or whatever. And then tomorrow, the next day, man, today sucks because Facebook screwed up my ad account, or this deal that I was sure was going to close, that was the biggest deal I've ever, worked on, didn't close. If we allow ourselves to kind of seesaw up and down, we don't have emotional resiliency, mental toughness, and like all those internal things, and we can fray and fall apart. But if we remind ourselves that we're going to have big ups, we're going to have big downs, and our job is to stay neutral and stay in the middle and just keep putting one foot in front of the other, that's resiliency to me. Because as long as I just make our mutual friend Joe Graham says all the time, which I love, as long as we just improve 1% every day, we're going to be fine. And the other thing that kind of, if you start there and you just learn to moderate and manage your emotions and stay in the middle as much as possible, there's a lot of ways that can be done. We can talk about that if you want. But once you've done that, then the thing to add on to that is to remind yourself that pain is temporary and pain is a gift from the universe, but suffering only comes from unmet expectations. And so if we can remind ourselves of that, and when we're suffering, it's because we have an expectation that either isn't realistic from other people, and we're putting like responsibility or expectations on them that aren't realistic. That's one thing that will cause our suffering. Or we suffer because we want it to be better, but we haven't done the work. We haven't put the reps in. We haven't done the time. And so when we can realign our mindset, and then we can just work on 1% improvement every day in our personal life and development, in our business, which are obviously all super integrated together, in our family life, when we just make daily improvements, then we can have realistic expectations, and the snowball effect of daily commitment and daily showing up and today deciding, here's what I'm going to do next, then you can be resilient. So I could probably talk about that for a while, but that's my encapsulated, not too super short, but shortish answer. So
so guys, if you don't know who Joe Graham is, he actually has an amazing podcast called The 150K Podcast. Make sure you check it out. Amazing. Absolutely. Especially if you're a business owner, especially if you're into sales, you definitely want to check his podcast out. But now, the reason why I wanted to have you on, now, like, I had John Lee Dumas come on the show, and I wanted to have him come on the show, not because he gets a million downloads a month.
Right.
I wanted to talk to him about what it was like in Iraq when he lost a tank crew and how he overcame his mental health issues to become successful.
Yeah.
I invited David Meltzer to come on the show because I didn't want to talk about his $20 billion company. I wanted to talk about how he lost over $100 million at the age of 29.
Yeah.
And came through the other side. That's why I wanted to have you come on the show, because guys, if you're listening to this, it's not all rainbows and unicorns. You know, we deal with shit, but we come back and now we're on to bigger and better stuff. But sometimes we got to go back, you know, like Tim Grover says, and we got to talk about the dark side in order to hit the bright side. So talk to us a little bit about, you know, how you came to be resilient.
Yeah, I think just to kind of give a little bit of backstory, I grew up east side of Cleveland in one of the richest neighborhoods in the entire country. The one percenters of the one percenters live there. So I grew up there because my parents were caretakers for our landlord's property. They would work on the weekends and we didn't have to pay rent. That's how financially not well off we were. And so our landlord was probably, from what I understood, because I knew some of people's actual net worth back then, but from what I understood, he was probably worth $300 to $500 million. So he's doing okay, maybe more. And he would regularly have like presidents over for dinner. He had the Bushes over for dinner. He had the Clintons over for dinner. Those were his friends. But I was in the bedroom I lived in the small house that was next door to our landlord's house. You know, I had a handful of siblings then. Ultimately, I have six siblings now. And so I had this really stark contrast of pretty extreme poverty for our country. I would never compare our poverty to poverty in other countries, because I've witnessed and been a part, you know, been with that. But we grew up super poor, right next to the most wealthy people in the world. And other neighbors in that area, in that neighborhood that I would meet, were billionaires. I ended up working later on, which I'll get to, and I ended up working for some of those guys that were billionaires, super nice people. Really interesting community. There's probably only like a couple hundred people in this whole community, and all of them were, you know, worth hundreds of millions or billions. And so I grew up super poor, but seeing what was possible. And then, fortunately, my parents, in my opinion, and like I've processed through it and let it all go with them, but they just weren't really great parents on any front. And so I was homeschooled, but my parents had tons of issues on multiple fronts and ultimately ended up getting divorced. And so I raised my younger siblings with my sister. So my sister's older than me by a couple of years. And then I have five younger brothers under me. So we ended up having to step in and raise them and teach them things and do the grocery shopping and do all that stuff. So by the time I was 16, I dropped out of being homeschooled because I was like, I don't understand the point of this and it doesn't make me any money. And I need money. Like I need to figure this out. So by the time, so right around that period, I started doing two things. One, my grandfather had been actually, before I was 16, he would pick me up like 11 or 12 o'clock middle of the day during the week. And he would pick me up and just take me to work. And he owned a general contracting company. And the majority of his business was masonry construction and pouring concrete and everything like that. So by the time I was 16 and I could drive, I started doing my own side work and construction, you know, anything I could pick up. And simultaneous to that, I started building websites for myself and for friends. And I got paid $3,000 for the first website that I actually got paid to build. I was like, holy shit, like, this is huge. Like, I can sit at a computer and make way more money in a day or two than I can going out and pouring a driveway or doing something like that. But I didn't totally understand that business yet. So from 16 to 24, through a couple iterations, I built up a large construction and remodeling company. We got into doing millions, you know, per year. And I was still playing around with marketing and tech for other people, but I built that business through building my own websites and doing my own paid advertising and SEO. But then the 07-08 housing market crash came. I didn't understand anything about financial management or control. And a couple of my big wealthy customers had their credit lines frozen or shrunk, which trickled down to me getting stuck for $250,000 in invoices in about 30 to 45 days. And in a matter of 90 days, I went from being a youth pastor at my church, everybody in the community loving and respecting me because I bought from all the vendors, employed almost 50 employees and another 20 subcontractors. But I went from hero to zero in 90 days, got divorced. My best friend passed away. 6 months later, my grandfather died. It was a hellish period of my life. And I had people like threatening to kill me because of how much money I owed them. And I really had to sit there and go, okay, like, now what? Like, I thought I was riding high and had it all together. And there was a ton of pride driving what I was doing. Not in a healthy way. There's a healthy pride for sure, but that wasn't the case there. And so as I kind of sat and licked my wounds, I said, well, what am I going to do next? You know, how am I going to survive this? And so I went and got a job. I ended up having two jobs over 18 months, both of which I quit because I hate working for other people. And I don't understand, you know, inefficiencies and things like that. But while I had those jobs, I restarted a new company, which ultimately, you know, today became Business Marketing Engine, where we do a bunch of marketing, both with paid, paid traffic, organic content marketing. We build websites. We do a lot of different things now. We have a great team of 30 people and clients and team members all around the world. But in that really, you know, dark period, somehow, probably from the example of my grandfather, because he's been through a lot of hard things over the years, and he was just one of my biggest mentors and influence, and he was like my father figure. He showed me how to get up and work hard every day, no matter what happened. No matter what happened, you make a big loss, no matter how much pain you're in, because like he had horribly crippling arthritis. But he would get out of his truck, work as long as he could. And by the end of the day, he would actually crawl to his truck with tears streaming down his face with a smile on his face. Couldn't he be like, this is a great day to be alive. And I'm so happy I get to work and provide for my family. And so by his example, comparatively, like everything is pretty easy for me to get through because I saw somebody do things that I, you know, just had the most, huge awe and respect for. And so pushing through those hard times is what makes us successful. And I heard a quote the other day, and I don't remember who said it, otherwise I would love to credit them, but they said, I've never met anybody super successful that hasn't had multiple massive failures in their career. So,
okay. I want to really dig deep into that. But I want to thank our sponsors. As you guys know, all my sponsors are 100% veterans, 100% of the time. Guys, as you know, we came out with all of our new gear, Vertical Momentum, coffee cuts, t-shirts, hoodies. We have everything, including this t-shirt that says, Today I Decided. And on the back, the t-shirt says, this t-shirt saves lives. Ask me how. The thing is, if you buy anything from Really Designs down below, or if you buy any of my swag, 100% of my proceeds go to help veterans that are struggling with mental health issues and also homelessness. So if you like cool swag, but if you also like a great mission, check out Really Designs. And also, if you want to start your own show like this, StreamYard is actually going to throw you some cash to start your own show. So if you guys are interested in that, write show below. If you're interested in swag, write swag below. And guys, make sure that you're subscribe to make sure your notification bells because we're going to. Now, I had my friend, Mr. Jeff Lerner, on, has a great book out called Unlock Your Potential. And he was talking about almost the same thing you were, that, you know, he was playing jazz piano in multi-millionaires' homes, like the owner of the Houston Texans.
Wow.
And he started learning what the ultra-successful people do. But also there were other musicians that were there that were not learning, that were just feeling, well, I'm just a musician. And they were starting to feel, you know, well, they think they're better than me. And he took the attitude of, well, I want to learn what they're doing.
Yeah.
So now you also, you know, because I had Robert Kiyosaki and Sharon Lecter on from Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Yeah.
You also kind of had one foot in one world and had one foot in the other world. One minute, you know, you're in a poor household, but then you're working in an ultra successful, or your family's working with an ultra successful business. So you're actually having not a rich dad, poor dad, but you're actually learning from two different things. So what made you go, you know, the positive way, instead of going the negative way, saying, oh, well, that's them. That's not for me.
Probably the biggest influence there was my grandfather, because he would always say, like, you know, everything's possible. You know, he would say the reward, you know, for risking something in a big opportunity is that you can make a bunch of money or you can learn a bunch. And so he was just super entrepreneurial, definitely had a lot of ups and downs in his business. And so he always just kind of talked to me about that. And I would watch him go and sell things, you know, huge projects, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. I would watch him sell to people in just an easy conversation. And he really taught me how to understand people. So that was a big part of it. And then the other part of it is we grew up super, super religious. And I love and respect all religions. I do think inside of some religions, there are groups or, you know, communities where, at least in the kind of like more charismatic Christian end of things, or that's where we grew up, there was definitely like this mentality, this attitude that like you couldn't really be a good Christian unless you were poor. And I've read the Bible front to back multiple times, and I never could find that in there. Like, I couldn't understand where that came from. But so I saw that example, and then when I saw people following that, what I believe is an inaccurate, ineffective belief, I just saw a lot of suffering. And I saw, like, man, like, it's always hard for them because they have this belief that limits their money and actually limits the impact they could make on the world, you know, in ministry or anything they would want to do. And so in observing that, I was like, I don't want to be that way. I want freedom of time. I want freedom of money. I want to be able to make the impact I want to make, because just like you, Richard, homelessness and, you know, people being hungry is a huge passion of mine. Like, that's something I want to solve. And so I was like, well, I can only solve that problem if I get incredibly good at making money. And I can see plenty of people have made crazy amounts of money. One of the folks in the community where I grew up, who ended up being a client of my grandfather's and then a client of mine years later, he basically started one of the, you know, the modern trucking system in the United States. So talk about impact and, like, you know, massive revenue. He was a billionaire that came over from Ireland. And created, you know, went from nothing and created, you know, billions in revenue. And the Lerners lived, you know, down the street from us. I mean, like, it was just a weird, weird dynamic to grow up that way. But in seeing what those people could do impact wise with the wealth they had, that became my motivation. I was like, if I can make more, I can help more people. If I can make more, my family, you know, when I have my family, they'll never have to go through the suffering I'm going through as a kid. And so all the negative just became a huge driver to say, well, I can clearly see how I don't want to do this. So as long as I just do the opposite of that, I'll at least be headed a better direction. So that was a big part of it. And looking back, I realized, and I've actually done a lot of research on this too. Looking back, I realized that by design, by my grandfather, because he would place me to intern with people and like apprentice with different people that he knew. And so I apprenticed as a cabinet maker, a plumber, electrician. Like, I worked with some really hardworking, amazing people. So by design, he exposed me to people like that to show me the work ethic. But also, when we're intentional around being around people that are more successful in any area, financially, in their relationships, what, you know, in personal development, you naturally get better at that stuff. It's easier to learn it. And I think all of us have different learning styles, but I believe that all of us also have a majority of how we're going to learn is by observing other people doing what we want to do. And so that was just, I observed what I wanted. You know, I had great, you know, motivation and support and just strategic support from my grandfather. And that helped me move away from, you know, what a lot, you know, I understand a lot of times people get trapped in that cycle of poverty. They don't see or know anything different, and generations stay stuck in whatever type of poverty it is, you know, physical poverty or mental poverty. You know, there's a lot of different poverties, right? But for me, that's definitely what helped me, you know, move through that.
Well, like when I grew up and money was a taboo subject, money was never talked about, whether it was, but I always heard, we can't afford it. We can't. And, you know, like I said, I had Sharon and Robert on, and I said, it was the moment that I picked up Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And I read the line. It said, instead of asking, you know, saying that I can't afford it, how can.
Yep. That's a great book.
And it switches your mindset to thinking, you know, all right, maybe my life doesn't have to be this way. And for me, it, 40, almost 50 years of my life, I thought that way. And only till it's been the last year that it's, you know, I started the show as an accidental podcaster, by the way. And I think now we're like in the top 5% in the world, or 0.5%. But now I realize it, something happened to me. Somebody reached out to me through Messenger and said, bro, I need help. I'm like, all right, send money right now. I got you. And then the next day somebody said, hey, bro, you know, I need help. And I had the money to send. And that's when I realized, wait a minute. Now I can start helping other people because I can't pour from my cup if it's empty.
Yep.
But if it's full, I can start pouring into other people. And that's when the podcast really started to realizing, wait a minute, I have a bigger mission.
Yeah. So
I think what you're talking about is, you know, when you realize that, you know, we don't have to live in this poverty mindset anymore.
Yeah. But
you can't hang out, you know, like they say, eagles don't hang out with turkeys for a reason.
That's right.
So talk to us about, you know, I call it addition by subtraction. You know, sometimes you got to cut some of the negative stuff out and add some of the positive stuff in. So talk about mindset, first of all.
Yeah, mindset is where everything starts and ends in life and in business for sure. And mindset is super connected to our self-care. That's the other thing I say. I was like, self-care, investing in yourself and personal development, it's the ticket to seven figures. And most people don't understand that early on in the journey because your business is a reflection of who you are. And if you aren't leveling up and growing personally, your business can't. It's your creation. It's like your kid, like it's only going to do what you do. And so from a mindset perspective, it's super important that we, you know, really think through and realize like what I say will happen, what I think will happen. And we say and think things based on exposure. So If I'm exposed and get to hang out with you today, Richard, then it's going to be positive. I'm having a great day. I'm going to be inspired. If I decide to hang out with somebody that all they do is complain about money or that their business sucks or that their life sucks, their relationship sucks, my mind is naturally going to look for those types of things. It's the old, you know, recency effect is the name of the kind of psychological thing that occurs. But when you buy, you know, a brand new red Chevy, everybody all of a sudden is driving red Chevys around you. And that's, and nothing has changed. It's just your awareness. It's just your awareness that those cars have always been there, but now that you own one, you see it.
Yeah.
And so the same thing occurs when we want to bring good things into our life or when we're unintentionally bringing negative things into our life. If we expose ourselves to the positive through great shows like yours, Richard, through reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad, through, you know, going to events or hanging out with people or, you know, intentionally, you know, being around that, we're going to naturally see the positive and be able to take opportunities, you know, that come to us that way. Whereas if we're not intentional about that and we just let life kind of throw at us who comes our way, who we allow in our life, things like that, then we're going to naturally see those things and attract that stuff into our life. It's almost physics to me, because our mind is just a program, and if what you put into it, you get out. And it's very scientific. It's very consistent. It works over and over. But we always have that moment where we can say, today I decided to focus on the positive, or today I decided to hang out with this person. Today I decided to turn off the news and go read a positive book. All those things really, really make a huge impact. And recently, I'll share something that might be a really useful tool for everybody here today that's listening. I'm helping somebody who really grew up in a rough situation, and, you know, has struggled, had a lot of abuse, ton of trauma, and just really locked in an abusive and, you know, poverty cycle. And so they came into my life. I'm so grateful for this opportunity to have them in my life and to have the friendship and the relationship. And they're working through this process of figuring out who's positive and who's negative and like who can help them. And so I said to them, I said, take a piece of paper, write down like the 10 or 15 people that you've hung out with the most in the last year. And so just in one column in the left-hand side, just write down all their names. And then in the second column, write energy and give them that person a score of 1 to 10 with energy. So like today, your energy is a 9 or a 10 or 11, Richard. So like I would write, you know, an 11 there. But unfortunately for me, just being really honest and candid, my parents are a 1. They drain my energy. They're negative. They have so much baggage, and they never made the decision to move out of that. So unfortunately, I would give them a 1. So if you list out the people that you spend the most time with over the course of a month, and then in that second column, you label it energy, and you score those people 1 to 10, then there's one more column of what can I realistically expect from this person? And the way you can create a realistic expectation is just look historically at the way they've behaved. So in our interaction, Richard, if you know, if I was doing this assessment and it was a few months out, I would go, oh, well, Richard's given me tons of energy. He's positive. And historically, he's communicated really well. He gave me a heads up about how the show was going to go. He emailed me early this morning. Hey, are we still good for today? So I can say, I can expect Richard to communicate effectively and let me know what's going on, because he's proven he can do that. It's not anything you said. It's just what you did. So if we take this list of people, then we can be really intentional and spend 80% of our time with people that are a 6 or 7 or 8 or higher. And then sometimes we do, due to just like life circumstances, we can't always completely cut some people out that are negative, but we can be super intentional and say, you know what, I'm going to only allow myself to talk to them or spend time with them or have exposure to them maybe once a month or every couple of months. And then there's some people that we have to be brave enough to cut out of our life. And I've cut my parents out of my life because I patterned and watched and paid attention. And whenever I would be around them, I would suffer. I would be depressed. My business would drop down. It was just super negative for me. And I couldn't go through my journey of healing and getting through all the things that had happened with them unless I just let them go. So sometimes we have to just completely let people go. But if we make an objective analysis, like doing those three columns, list of people we hang out with, how much energy they give me, 1 to 10, and what can I realistically have an expectation that they'll do based on their historic behavior, not based on what they say, then I can be super intentional about creating that positive exposure to the people that bring me the most energy. And that should be 80% of my time. And then I can grow from there because I've just created an environment that's helping me see and focus on and attract the positivity that I want.
You know, and that's something, and I love that. And I'm actually going to use it because, so as you see, I'm actually writing everything down because I do have a traumatic brain injury. So if I don't write it down, I won't remember to ask about it. But now talking about the reticulator activating system, which is something that Tony Robbins, Ed Milet, they always talk about, you know, the RAS, you know what, like you said, like it's like a computer. What you put in is what you put out. So, yeah. But also I started to realize because, you know, I decided, well, I want to be the best podcast in the world. That's my goal. But I had to figure out who were the best. So I actually bought Russell Brunson's trilogy series. Nice. And he talks about how you have to figure out if you're going to be a business owner, you got to figure out who your top 100 is. and follow the top 100 and find out what they're doing, because obviously success leaves clues. I mean, you don't want to bite off of them, but you learn and you want to use what's actually working.
Exactly.
And so sometimes, like, if for me, I went through and on my Facebook page and my YouTube and all that, I unfollowed everybody, and I just started to do it. Okay, these are my Dream 100. They call it the Dream 100. These are my Dream 100. I became a social media creator instead of a consumer.
Yeah, it
changed my life. So talk a little bit about that. About, you know, if you want to become a business owner, look to see not who's doing worse than you, but who's the best, and work towards that.
Yeah. Yeah. I love what you just shared there, because that's the same thing I did. I see people complain about Facebook, and I'm like, just because you're not utilizing the tool the way it's designed doesn't mean it's bad. Right. So if you go in and just, I give people two strikes, not three on my Facebook feed. You can complain once, like unnecessary complaints. I get it. We all have bad days. If I see another complaint from you in a couple more days and you're just being negative, it's fine to ask for help, but there's a difference between being negative and asking for help. But if you're just being negative and complaining and bitching about stuff, and I see that a second time within a short amount of time, I'll unfollow you or unfriend you, because I don't want any exposure to that. So I love that you're doing that. And that's definitely something important to do. And I love what you said too, about like you became a creator instead of a consumer. And that's a huge shift in our mindset and becoming a leader. And so when you're starting a business, you know, the pressure is there. You got to provide for your family. It's a scary, scary, you know, mission to be on, of like, I'm going to quit my day job, or I'm going to start this on the side so I can, you know, quit my job, or I got fired, you know, and I need to do something differently. It's a really scary experience, because we walk into a battlefield that we don't know. And there's so many variables, and there's so many things that, you know, can happen to us that we just don't even know how to cope with. But by having that Dream 100, or having the people that you can look up to and model after and follow, you can learn a ton from doing that if you become that active student. And there's a really simple business model that definitely focuses heavily on marketing, because we have to have marketing in order to have sales and in order to have delivery and have revenue. But there's a really simple model I want to share with everybody today that you can just write this down. It's easy to remember, and it's simple, but not easy. But it's simple to execute if you're willing to commit to it every day. And so it's called the best marketing model. The B stands for build your list. The E stands for educate your audience. And then the S stands for serve by selling. And the T stands for train your clients, your customers, to fully utilize what you offer, your products or services. And so if we think that through, building your list means getting people on your email list, getting, you know, having social media followers is good. Having platform followers is great. But you want a channel and a way to directly communicate with them, so they're guaranteed to have the opportunity to see it. So if I offer something of value that's going to solve your problems and make your life better, Richard, and in exchange for that, you opt in and give me your email address and your contact information, now I can have an ongoing communication with you. And so building your list, it's really important to get an email address and or a physical address for somebody, because direct mail is still a super powerful tool. You don't want to build your business on, you know, somebody else's rented property, because say, you know, we just kind of use a real life example. Say you start going to a coffee shop, hanging out there, and people start seeing what you're up to, and they come into the coffee shop too, and they want to buy the products that you're doing, or they want to sit down and do coaching with you or whatever it is. That's awesome. But if you set up shop there and then the coffee shop goes out of business, or they kick you out and they're like, dude, you don't buy enough coffee and your clients don't buy enough coffee, you're out of here. You can't come back, or we're calling the cops. You have no business anymore. Unless, while you were meeting with those people, while you attracted them in that location, that platform, that, you know, that other person's business, you said, hey, make sure I get your email address and your mailing address, because I want to make sure we can stay in communication between our time here that we see each other at the coffee shop. And so building a list, you must own the contact information of your prospects. You must own the list of the people that you want to serve, because otherwise, Facebook's going to change their rules tomorrow. YouTube is, Google is, you know, you're going to say something accidentally that they don't like, or by no fault of your own, your account's going to get hacked someday and you may lose all your followers. And so don't build your business on, you know, on sand, on somebody else's rented property, but build an actual list where you have contact information for the people you want to serve. That's the first step. And you can do that by making an offer that gives them a fast win, helps them understand, like, man, Rich is the guy I can come to. You know, if I need this, he can deliver solutions. And so give away value and invite people into your world, and that gets them on your list. And we could talk about offers and lists and how to build lists as much as we want, but I'll kind of leave it there for a minute. So build a list. And if you have a list of 10 people, you're doing good. And if you can get a list to 100 people, that's awesome. And I know people that only have 1,500 names on their email list, and they make $250,000 a year from it. So just don't ever think you have to have Tony Robbins' email list to be successful. Build your list, because that is your community. That's your people. Those are the people that you can show up and serve and lead every day. So when we build our list, then our next step, the E, you know, B is for build your list and best. E is for educate your audience. One of the best things that we can do to serve people is teach them and show them. Just like my grandfather took hours and years of his life to teach me about life and business, and he connected me with his friends that could teach me those things. The more he educated me, the more I trusted him and the more value I got from that relationship. So in educating our audience and educating everybody on our list, they can learn and apply the value and the lessons you have. They trust you more. And then they're going to reach a point where, because you've educated them and taught them some of the ropes and some of the things and about your products, about your services, what you do and how they can apply those things, at some point, they're going to either have a bunch of success and be ready to invest money with you because they're like, this works so good. I want to get to the next level. I want to be closer to you. I want to work with you more. I want to have more of your products and services. Or they're going to have something catastrophic happen in their life, or just maybe a high enough level of pain. They're like, I'm tired of dealing this with myself. Richard knows all about podcasting. I'm going to reach out to him, you know, or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And so if you just show up faithfully on a daily basis and a weekly basis, and you serve your list by educating them, they will trust you. And then it automatically moves to where we can serve by selling to them. And sales is about serving somebody, helping identify their problem and find the perfect solution that will make their life better. It's not about forcing something on them that they don't need or want. It's not about being pushy. It's just about having a conversation and saying, hey, Richard, like, you know, you reached out, you said you had some challenges with marketing. So talk to me about that. What are your goals? Awesome. Like, you want to build an email list? We're really good at that. I'd love to serve you with that. Here's the investment. Here's the results you're going to get out of it. When you're ready, we're here to serve you. And you just show them the steps they can take to safely make that change and get that win and that success that they need in their life. And then once you have somebody that you built your list, they got on your list, then you educated them for as long as they needed. Sometimes that's 3 days and sometimes it's 3 years. So you educate as long as they need it. And then you serve by selling, you sell them a great solution that solves their problem, makes their life better. You truly show up with all your heart and deliver everything you can in the products and services and everything you provide. And then the key is to train that client to fully maximize the value that you provide. Because a lot of times we think, oh, I made the sale, great. I'm going to put them on autopilot and hope they keep paying me. Or I ship that product off, I hope they're happy with it. And if we leave it there, then we have a leaky bucket in our business. And if you have a leaky bucket, you can run the hose into that leaky bucket as long as you want, and it will never stay full. But if you seal off those holes, then you can fill up multiple buckets and you can have a full cup to dump out and help other people and grow your own business, right?
Yep.
And so by training our clients, our customers, to fully utilize the products and services we give them, by following up and say, hey, I saw you just ordered, you know, one of the shirts that, you know, that says today I decided. How do you like that? Have you been wearing it? Do you like the material? Like, what, like, you just have a conversation about, like, how can I make this even better for you? Or are you wearing it and using it? Or how's that mug that you have? Or, you know, like when people buy, you know, marketing services from us and we help them with their email marketing, we actively have a conversation with them. We keep making sure they're getting max value out of whatever they purchased. Because when we do that, they're continuing to get value. We're continuing to serve them and we're training them to get max value from it. And so they understand that we're still walking side by side with them through the project, through the goal, through the challenge that they have. And that's what creates long-term relationships and trust. And then you have retention, and retention is the key to profits. If we don't have profit, then we can't stay in business. So that's the short kind of explanation of what the best marketing model is.
Yeah. So now, because 3 years ago, I lost 80% of my vision, and that's why I started an audio podcast.
Wow.
But my hearing got so much better, and now I'm able to pick out certain words. And I picked out a word that you used, because I talked to a billionaire. I was playing poker with him one night, and I said, "What's the difference between a rich person and a poor person?" And he said, "It's just their vocabulary."
Wow.
And I was like, "Oh shit!"
I like that.
You said something. You didn't say the word cost. You said the word investment.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, that's where they get all wrapped around the axle. Because if somebody says, well, something's going to cost me something, well, that means I got to buy something. But if you use a word like, and it's a great word, but if you use a word like invest in something, oh, well, that means it's going to appreciate.
That's right.
Poor people don't talk about appreciation, depreciation, and investments. So no. Talk about the vocabulary of rich and wealthy people.
That's, man, I love that line. The difference between rich people and poor people is their vocabulary. Holy cow. I totally agree. That's a great way to say it. I had a friend and mentor right after I lost my construction business, and I was feeling bad for myself and, you know, feeling sorry for myself. And I said something like, you know, it's all my fault, or like, I suck at that, or this is never going to work. And he was like, Gabe, cut it out. And he just like totally snapped my attention. And he said, you can't say that stuff. He's like, you can't say that stuff and grow and succeed. He's like, you cannot talk to yourself that way. And he really like just got my attention, because he was always super calm and chill. And like, but I had been bitching about my life for a few days with him. And he just, like, he was done with it, which is one of the greatest things he did for me. And so when we say, I'll never be able to, then your mind's like, all right, cool, we'll never be able to do that. Or we say, I can't. They're like, all right, well, you can't. And so yeah. Success comes from identity, and identity comes from a vocabulary. So I am a person that doesn't drink pop. I made that decision a long time ago, because when I was in my 20s, I used to drink like 12 to 24, you know, bottles of Mountain Dew a day. That would have killed me at some point. It's not a good habit. So one day I woke up and said, I am not a person that drinks pop. And I stopped that day, because you can't go against your own identity. And so by saying, I am somebody that shows up positively, I am somebody that doesn't do this, or it's even better to say, I am somebody that only drinks water, because putting any negative language in your I am statements doesn't always support us mentally as well as we should. So every single day, I have a list of affirmations that I say. I'm grateful that I'm a billionaire, because I can make the impact on the world I want to make. And so my identity, my actions, my behaviors, everything about my whole being has to continue to move towards alignment to that statement about who I am. And so when we really show up for ourselves and say, I am somebody that shows up with a positive attitude every day, I am somebody that understands that pain is a gift from the universe to teach me something important. We can reframe anything that's happening if we change our identity. But if we say, you know, I'm never going to be successful at this, or I suck at this, or I'm stupid, or all those things, your body, your mind, your whole, you know, soul has to follow your command, your decision. And so when we give the right commands, everything can change, and it changes at the right time. If I could just say, I'm a wealthy billionaire, you know, I'm grateful I'm a wealthy billionaire because I get to make the impact on the world, and I had to say it once, well, we would be having this podcast conversation on a private island somewhere.
Yeah.
But we have to trust the universe, God. We have to trust our higher power to align everything in the right divine sequence and timing for us. And we have to show up faithfully every day and continue to be the leader that we know to be, the business owner, the father, you know, the friend, the mentor. And if we're consistent and we just keep showing up and we remind ourselves, I am somebody that shows up no matter how hard it is. I am somebody that's going to be strong, and I'm going to be kind. And when we put that kind of programming into ourselves, you can only grow. It's impossible not to grow when you align yourself with that type of thing. So yeah, I would agree that vocabulary is the difference. And that's a great way of saying it. I never thought about it that way.
And I love it. You know, like, I'm actually listening to, because every day I do my cardio, and I listen to audio books, because that's the way, you know, when I went blind, that was the only way for me to keep my positiveness. Yeah. But, you know, I have a friend, his name is Tim S. Grover, and he has a book called Relentless, and he talks about how, you know, I'm a Lakers fan. I'm a Lakers fan.
Yep.
I am not a LeBron fan.
That's all right.
And I have not followed the Lakers since LeBron joined the team.
Uh-oh.
And but he talks about how LeBron is a closer, but Dwayne Wade is a cleaner.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan was a cleaner.
Yeah.
Kobe Bryant was a cleaner because they had that Mamba mentality. You know, this is like, you know, when Dwayne Wade, when LeBron went to Miami, Dwayne said, this is my team.
Yeah.
You know, when Kevin, when Steve Nash and Karl Malone went to the Lakers, Kobe said, this is my team.
Yep.
You know, even with Michael said, this is my team. And I think we have to get to that mindset where we become relentless and unstoppable, even in our thinking. Because yeah. like you said earlier, whether you think you can or you think you can't.
You're right.
You're right.
Henry Ford.
Yeah. Because, you know, I thought, and I took a great class, a 12-week class on digital marketing by some friends of mine in Operation Veteran Freedom. And they taught me about digital marketing. And I thought it was all bullshit. I thought there's no way this digital marketing is all bullshit. So I took the class just to prove them wrong. So I got books out on Amazon. I got my swag and everything. And when my father passed away on Valentine's Day this year, I was out of the loop for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But I still had money coming in because I had evergreen products out there into the universe.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is real.
It does work.
So talk to us about, you know, digital real estate in the year 2022.
Yeah. Well, the good news with marketing is there's two things. Nothing ever changes and everything always changes. That's just something to really remember about marketing and especially digital marketing. So the things that always change is a platform is going to change. The technology is going to change. The trends are going to change. There's always things changing in marketing. But what's never going to change is that people want to have a relationship with the people that they work with and that they buy from. And there's plenty of people in any marketing space, and this is like any industry, there's plenty of people that do it wrong and will steer you wrong. But I always remind people, if you think about the last nice dinner you had, maybe you went to a nice restaurant, or maybe you go to your favorite bar, or maybe you go wherever you go to hang out and like just enjoy yourself. If you keep going somewhere, it's because of the relationship. You might know the server, the bartender, or, you know, if you keep going to the same, you know, tractor repair store, you know, every spring to get the stuff to clean your lawn up, you go there because of the relationship. And then the benefit is you get good quality service and things like that. And so with marketing, what's really important is that we remember that our prospects want to have a real relationship with us. Anytime we move away from that, it will disconnect and it'll be a problem. So when we think about digital marketing in the sense of like doing email marketing, you should write emails like you're writing to one person that you know who's on your list, or you imagine this person who, you know, has a family, you know, is trying to start their business, who, you know, whatever it might be. If you just talk to a specific individual when you write your content, when you create your videos, like when I get the opportunity to be here, which I'm so grateful for, Richard, I'm thinking about one person that I could help today. And that's all I need to think about. Cause, and if I only help one person with maybe one decent thing I said, that's great. So if you show up with that heart's intention of, I want to help one person and serve them, then you're investing in your relationship with multiple people when you do digital marketing, when you do any kind of, you know, one-to-many marketing. And so when you write that way, when you create a video that way, when you create a product or a service thinking, how could I make this so amazing and so helpful to that specific person that I want to serve, they're going to feel that energy and intention. And then when they reply to you, or they comment on your stuff on Facebook, or they send you an email back, or they send something, or they order something, take a moment and put a handwritten note in that order before you ship it out. Reply to that email, like be there, invest in the relationship. That will never change. The most successful marketers, the most successful business people in the world understand how to build relationships with their audience, relationships with people. And so that part of marketing will never change. The tactics, the tools, the strategies, all those things may change or shift. But if you remember, I'm showing up today to serve and help somebody and make their life better, you can't go wrong with that. You're still going to learn your lessons. You're still going to have things break or things happen. That's just business. We're going to run into challenges. But when you keep that as your true north, your mission of serving people from the highest level, you know, just really setting that heart's intention, then that will drive the right behavior through your business, including times where, like, I've made mistakes and had to give back tens of thousands of dollars to people. But I was like, if I was in that position and the business I hired to help me with something and there was a mistake on their part or something else happened or whatever, I would want to be treated that way. And so marketing is about building a relationship with our audience. And when we do it with a pure intention and we truly show up to serve, the other stuff is fairly easy to implement or learn or hire somebody to help you.
You know, and now, like, I had a gentleman on, you might've heard of him. His name is Steve D. Sims.
Yeah.
And, he was on the show twice now. And his new book is amazing. Make sure you guys go out and check it out. But his first book, it taught me, you know, if somebody is doing something one way, why not go the other way? Like, for me, I believe in always over delivering. Like, if I say, you know, our next episode, it's going to go out to 10 different places. I'm going to put it out to 15. Nice. But also, you know, like, and you're going to expect this, that when we hang up, you're going to get a handwritten letter from me. So, you know, just showing you that I appreciate you, because a lot of people, you know, we get so much mail, but we never get a handwritten note anymore. And for me, that creates building relationships.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes I think old school is and new school can kind of come together. Absolutely. And you can succeed, right? Yeah,
absolutely. Yep.
So now let's talk for the last couple of minutes. You know, for me, when I first started, and everybody laughs at me, when I first started podcasting, I had a podcast called Success Your Why Powers Your How. And I'm a low-tech redneck, so it never got on Apple. And 300 episodes in, and somebody's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, what do you mean? He's like, first of all, you're not on Apple. 98% of people listen to Apple. Second of all, how are you going to put that shit on a t-shirt?
Yeah.
I was like, you know, so a lot of people don't realize how important branding is. Like, yeah. I'm a big sports guy. I love sports. And can you imagine if we're watching, you know, NBA on TNT and Michael Jordan comes up in an Adidas jumpsuit wearing Adidas sneakers? People would lose their mind, because he is the face of Nike. He is Air Jordan.
Yep.
So talk about branding for a few minutes.
Yeah, branding is something that it's really important. It's definitely misunderstood. I've misunderstood it in years past. And branding is a way to show people that you're consistent in who you are, what you offer, what you talk about, and what you deliver. And so by being intentional with how we brand ourselves, we get people to trust us and value our products and services. Air Jordans are only as expensive as they are. I bought my son some last year because of Jordan's name. That's all. You know, like, he has built that brand to that point, but he's been consistent in showing that he shows up and works hard every day. You know, when he was playing, like, he was the best of the best, right? He blew everybody away, and he was consistent, and everybody wanted to be like that. It was aspirational. So when you're choosing your brand, you want to be intentional about how do you want people to perceive you. And I say that because, not because you're going to be dishonest about, you know, who you are, or what you're doing, but you're going to pick a specific part of who you are or your business and talk about that and make sure you always bring that up and say, like, here's what we do and here's how we do it, you know, and here's who we help. You talking about, Richard, about how all your proceeds go to help veterans who, you know, need help with PTSD and homelessness and their mental health issues. Like, that will stand out and people understand and know that. And so not only do they get to tune in and listen, you know, to the amazing folks that you have on and the wisdom that you have to share that will help them in business, but there's that added value and that feel good feeling, which is a legitimately good feeling of, like, man, by being here and supporting this, I'm supporting people that need help. And so aspirational branding is good, and also just being true and honest to who you are. So if you're intentional about thinking about how can I make the biggest impact, who do I want to serve, those are questions to ask. And then once you have even just a rough idea of that, because that's going to be refined and improved over the years, you don't have to know exactly what you're doing, but have a general direction of who you want to help and serve, then you can say, how can I get the most attention for what I'm all about, who we're helping, who we serve, what our business is about. And you want to get that attention in a really authentic way, the way you would normally do it in, you know, a group of your friends, or if you got to go speak at your local chamber, or you're out in your community, like be yourself and be consistent, but also find ways to get attention and talk about what successes you've had or the charity that you're helping or what you're up to, because people want to be associated with things that, you know, they want to be like, or they, you know, kids wear Air Jordans because they want to jump as high as Jordan, right? They want to look like him. They want to be successful. And so by choosing the perception that you want to put out there in alignment with your beliefs and who you are and the impact and the positivity that you want to bring into the world, that's the mindset behind it. And then once you have that kind of established as like, I think this is the direction I want to go, I'm going to test this and try this out, then it's important to be consistent in showing up in multiple different places that the people that you want to serve are at. So, you know, being on social media, we are all on social media, like it or not, we're all on social media. Everybody listening, I don't care what niche you're in, what business you're in, your clients are on social media, period, end of story. And so that is one place you can get their attention. You can also get people's attention by sending them this old school thing called a letter. You put a stamp on it, and nobody puts anything in a mailbox anymore that's a handwritten card. And so you can send a handwritten card to your dream 100 people that you want to work with. And if you every quarter or every month or whatever is the right kind of sequencing for how you want to get in front of them, you keep reaching out, then they're going to remember you. I got a handwritten card yesterday, and it just said, the return address label said Brandon, and it was like maybe like a half hour away at a town, and it was a hand addressed to me and my fiance. We opened it up. It said, you know, if you ever need new windows, I'd love to help you with that. I forget what brand windows he sells. I remember that. And I mean, how many times have I seen billboards about windows and Facebook ads and like all that other stuff? He really stood out by just going, doing something different, a little bit extra, and has my attention. If I needed windows right now, which I don't, I would call him. I'd be like, man, like, let's talk. Like, this is a need I have. So in branding and in our marketing efforts, we have to be consistent in the branding, because we don't know when the people on our list or in our audience, we don't know when their pain is going to happen, or we don't know when they're finally going to have saved enough money to invest in what they wanted to invest with you. And so if we're consistent in our branding and we're intentional about the message and what we want to be noticed for, that's when we get results from it. And branding is relationship building too. And so if you only send something out once in a while, you're just not going to have enough time and effort and consistency to build a trusting relationship for somebody to want to buy from you. So those are some basics around it.
Okay. Now, something that you mentioned earlier, and you said, think back to your favorite dinner. Or like, we just went out for dinner Saturday night for cousin's night. And I mean, I think our alcohol bill was almost as much as the food bill. Awesome. I don't drink, but it was like, but you know, after, you know, the dinner was over, the owner of the restaurant came by with a bottle of whatever it was, port wine, poured everybody shots, and had shots with us and talked with us for a good 15, 20 minutes.
That's awesome.
Just that.
Yep. So,
you know what? I'm going back there.
Absolutely.
Yep. Or also somebody else, something that it got me thinking about the whole, you know, the whole writing a thank you card. Now, one, we had our car worked on. He spent like $6,000 for a brand new transmission.
Jeez.
But the guy that owned the company wrote us a thank you card and just dropped a dollar scratch off in there.
Wow.
But it made me think, he took the time.
Yeah.
To write out a thank you card. And even though it's a dollar scratch off, it sticks in my mind.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to go back to that place. And like you said, it may not have been a big thing to them, but to us, who all we get in the mail is bills, to get something positive, it kind of just changed our whole mindset. So one last thing I want to talk about real quick is, because I took a TARC trying to learn about copywriting. You know, I love Dan Locke. He's taught me a lot. And I never realized how important writing copy is until I went to a class and I took last week, and I actually took what he taught us, and I used it using the Hero's Journey format.
Yep.
And it's blowing up everywhere.
Nice.
Because using, you know, that format of the Hero's Journey. So talk to us a little bit about how important copy is, especially in today's market and the listeners or watchers' attention spans.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things around there, but we'll touch on some things to remember. So when you want to make money, there's a copy is a piece of the process. It's an important piece, but there's a principle that we have to pay attention to in order to write effective copy. The principle is that if we are not speaking to human desire, it doesn't matter what we write. So there's three macro level human desires, and then there's a list of like 10 or 14 like inside of this, but there's three primary human desires: health, wealth, and love. So all of us throughout the day, throughout our lives, you know, we want to be healthy, whether that means physical, mental, you know, there's a lot of different things and wrapped up in health, right? But we want to be healthy, or we want to be wealthy. We want to earn more money, or we want to have more time. Those are both wealth factors. Or we want to have assets, like we want to have things like that. And then all of us want love, and love is just, again, the broad label for you want to be loved. You want to be in a good relationship. You want to love yourself. You want to have a better relationship with your wife, your kids. You want a better relationship with your employees. So those are the macro level categories: health, wealth, and love. So if you're going to copyright something, you know, you're going to do copywriting, you're going to write an offer, you first have to ask yourself, what category does this fall into? Am I selling wealth because I'm selling a business opportunity or investment opportunity, or I'm selling a way for people to get back more time, work less, and still make the same amount of money? Is it that? Am I selling something around health? I'm going to show them how to get fit, you know, after, you know, they went through a surgery, or you know, they didn't pay attention to their health when they're younger, and now they want to be healthy so they can spend time with their kids. There's some overlap between those three desires, but define what is the human desire that I'm serving and answering. Once you know that, then you can write your copywriting is fairly straightforward, because if I say to you, Richard, okay, you know, what if I could show you a way where you could add 500 people a month to your email list so that you could sell them the things that they need and you can make the impact on the world you want to make? We have a simple system that we can show you where if you invest, you know, 30 minutes a week, you can build, you know, you can get 100, 150 people a week on your list so you can reach your goal. We've helped XYZ people do this before. You know, if you'd like to learn about it, reach out to me. You can just be really straightforward in your copy and make a very quick and easy offer because you know the result that they want. The other thing to think about when we talk about copywriting is it's not just the written word. It's what you're going to say on video. You know, there's a lot of different formats for your copywriting. But I've been using this analogy recently, and it'll make a lot of sense to people. So imagine if you're traveling somewhere, you know, a couple of weeks from now, and you booked your plane tickets and you're going, you know, you're going across the country. You get a phone call from the airline or a text and they say, hey, we just appreciate you being a customer. We're going to come pick you up at your house and take you to the airport. One, that would never happen. So that's a funny part of the story because the airlines don't understand customer service most of the time. But pretending they were trying to do that, you get this call and they're like, awesome, great. And they're like, cool, we're going to be there 4 hours before your flight. We'll pick you up. So it's the day of your flight, you know, and your flight's in, you know, in the afternoon. So it's in the morning. They knock on the door and you open the door. And there is a guy on a bicycle with a second seat. I forget what those are, the tandem bikes. And he's like, I'm here to take you to the airport. How would you feel? You'd be pissed. You'd be disappointed. You'd be like, where's my bag going? The airport's an hour away. Like, this is ludicrous. You ruined my day instead of helping me. But if they knock on the door And it's, you know, it's a chauffeur in a tuxedo and he's got a black, you know, sedan out there or a black Suburban. He's like, I'm here to pick you up. You'll gladly get in the car because he has brought a vehicle that's going to get you to your destination. So when we're writing our copy, we have to know the desire the person wants, where they want to go. I want to get to the airport. And then we have to show up and explain that the vehicle that we have, it's going to be a unique vehicle that, you know, a unique mechanism, a unique way to get to the airport faster. And it's not going to be some trashy bicycle that you would never consider, you know, getting on. So in our copy, we have to clearly explain, this is why what we do is different here. You know, this is the process that we take, and we can guarantee that this vehicle is going to get you there because we put gas in it. We know the engine's in good shape. It doesn't need a transmission. You know, there's all, we've done all these things. And so you don't have to explain how every single piece of that Suburban works to them for them to book the ride, but they do need to know enough to have confidence to say like, yeah, I'll get in there and you can take me to the airport. Like, I'm a licensed chauffeur. You know, our company's been around for 10 years. We take people to the airport every day. Like, there's some things to put in there, but it's really being intentional about saying, what is the desire, the destination? And does this vehicle seem believable and will it actually work? It needs to feel believable and actually work. And so this is the vehicle that's going to get you there. So when you're writing copy, you're saying, hey, Richard, I heard you want to go to the airport. Awesome. Here's what I can do for you. We will pick you up 4 hours before your flight. It's going to be in a black sedan. It's going to be full of gas. You're going to have a professional chauffeur. They're going to grab your bags for you. They're going to do everything. And, you know, guess what? It costs like $150 to park at the airport, but our ride costs $150. So which one do you want to do? You know, and they'll be like, well, if I'm going to make an investment, I might as well make an investment that in a vehicle that's faster and easier and more convenient to get me there. Because the other thing in our copywriting is time is more expensive than money. And so we have to remind people in our offers that if you go your own way, yeah, you'll probably get there. You can drive yourself. You can park there. You got to drag your bags in. You're going to walk farther, whatever. You'll totally get there. But if you work with us, if you make the investment with us, then you're going to get there faster. It's going to be easier. You're not going to have to worry about, you know, finding your car when you get back from your trip, because I've lost my cars in parking garages before. And so, you know, this is the easier way. And so when you think about how do I deliver the right vehicle to people that want this solution, they want to get to this destination, that's copy. And the more you write and the better you practice or whatever, you'll get better at it. But you just write in your own voice and put yourself in the shoes and in the mindset of the person that you want to have invest with you, and just write to them with empathy and say, like, I know what it's like to park your car at the airport and lose it and spend a bunch of money. And it's super frustrating. That sucks, doesn't it? That's why we created this service where we'll just pick you up and drop you off. It costs the same, or maybe it costs a little bit more. But the most important thing is we're saving you time and frustration.
I love it. So now, last question is, how do we find you? How do we support your mission? And how, if we need help in our marketing, how can we get in touch with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So anybody that needs help, you can reach out at businessmarketingengine.com. We help people build marketing engines that sustain their business for years and years. We have clients that have been with us since our inception over 15 years ago. And so at businessmarketingengine.com, you can get any help with marketing. And as far as like listening to my show, The Engine Builder Show, where we talk about marketing strategies, you can just look me up anywhere on social media. LinkedIn, Facebook are my big ones, but just you can look up Gabe Arnold and reach out, message me, ask any questions. I'm here to help people, and be my pleasure to serve anybody that needs help in this area.
Gabe, I just want to say thank you, brother. This has been a truly honor for me. And I got like sheets of stuff.
Nice.
And I can't wait to start, you know, really digging into that BEST. I think that's a game changer. I think what the most important thing you said out of everything is time is more expensive than money.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, because we can always get money. We can always get houses, cars, yep, but we can't buy a single day back.
That's right.
So I love it. So guys, as you guys see my t-shirt all the time, I wear, it's called Today I Decide. For me, it's the three most important words in the English language, because you don't have to be the same person when you go to bed tonight as the same person that woke up today. It's your choice whether you want to be a victim or a victor. So guys, please make that choice. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you leave a comment down. You know, let us know how we did. If you guys grab some value, I love you guys. And Gabe, have an amazing week and have a happy Halloween. I know you're going trick-or-treating with the kids, so have fun.
Thank you so much, Richard. It's been my pleasure to be here today.
All right, brother. God bless. And guys, remember, I'll see you on Monday, Halloween. And remember, vertical momentum. The only way to go is up. I love you guys. Have a great weekend.